Next item is item two, which is open public comment. I expect everyone in the room has probably made comments before. You know the policy is 3 minutes. If you're in the middle of a sentence, please feel free to complete that. There will be a buzzer that will go off after 3 minutes. And at that time, we'll ask you to finish up, and the next party can step up. Okay. The first public comment is Bruce Barnes. And I'm going to put the second one up there as well, Mark Smith.
Game Commission. Oops, is this working? Yep. Yeah. Good morning, Game Commission. My name is Bruce Barnes. I live in Vancouver, Washington. Thank you for the opportunity to speak at this meeting. I'm here today because, first of all, I'd like to introduce myself to our new director, which I was glad to see that we've got one that's actually got a wildlife background. That's something we've been lacking in this state for quite a while here. The second thing I'd like to talk about is the our hoof rot situation. 3 years ago, I came to the Game Commission in Moses Lake, Washington, as of this next March, and asked them what the containment and treatment of these elk were going to be that have hoof rot. And since then, this thing has spread out of control. We haven't taken a sample since last January. We've never done a live sample testing of any of these elk. We continue to tell the public that these animals are safe to eat and make a comparison to dairy cattle and beef cattle, which are, there's a huge distinction between those animals and a wild animal. They're immunized before they're sent to slaughter. These elk are not. And we need to make this the priority of this Game Commission. Our last director told us that it was his main priority to get this resolved. We've identified that there's a disease called treponema, apparently, that is causing these elk to be sick, but that's a secondary disease. We don't know what actually is causing it. We've done no live testing, no blood testing on these animals after going to all these meetings with the TAC group and the TAG group and the Hoof Rot Committee. And I'm extremely concerned that we're going to lose our whole Southwest Washington elk herd if they go out to start culling this herd. And what I've done is I've taken some pictures, and I'll share them with you here after your director's report. We've noticed that on these animals, they get a distinct yellow streak on the back of their leg in the fur when they get hoof rot. And about 3 months later, as we found out with collared elk that were on Mark's property, these animals start to limp. And shortly thereafter, they lose their hoof. And about, it was probably about a year after that, they ended up dying. And we figured that out because we took the numbers off those collars with our binoculars and telephoto lenses, so we knew that they were the same elk. So it wasn't a miss, you know, calculation that it could have been this elk or couldn't have been this elk. We knew that they were the same elk. The other thing I want to talk about is the mountain goats that are at Mount St. Helens. We need to have a hunting season on those because now where they've planted the mountain goats, there's 83 mountain goats, and they're eating all the habitat for the elk. They're not afraid of hunters. They're actually aggressive to them, and they've mowed all that wildlife up there, and the upper areas, the upper meadow, is all down to nothing. Anybody that's been up there and hiked around, I've got a lot of pictures through my spotting scope of them, and we need to at least cull that herd a little bit to get them moving around so they're not in the same spot. I'm not saying kill them all. I'm saying maybe issue a tag or two a year. And I had some other things, but I'll talk to the director. But thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Mr. Smith? Thank you. The next person would be Edward Barnes.
Thank you. My name is Mark Smith. I reside at 14,000 Spirit Lake Highway in Tootle, Washington. Topic I have today is elk hoof rot disease. I would like to thank the Fish and Game Commission for the opportunity to speak and share my concerns regarding the elk hoof disease in Southwest Washington. I have served on the Elk Hoof Disease Citizens Advisory Committee since its creation. While I respect the WDFW staff, our state veterinarian, and the members of the Technical Advisory Committee, I am concerned with the lack of progress and current point of action. WDFW is planning to spend $250,000 to helicopter capture some 60 animals this spring, collar them, and study them for the next 2 years. The prevalence of the disease is what they want to identify, or what percentage of the elk herd is affected. At this time, we have not been able to identify the cause of the treponema bacteria, where it resides, how it is transmitted, or how to prevent it. From this, one can only assume that 100% of all the elk in the area are susceptible of becoming infected. We now have confirmed cases of hoof disease with treponema in Oregon and evidence of the elk swimming the Columbia River. So hoof disease is now a multi-state elk disease and continues to spread unchecked. In the last 2 years, we have invested over $375,000, and to date, not one elk has been prevented from getting sick or cured. While I commend the WDFW's efforts, it is simply not enough. I feel it is time for WDFW and the state of Washington to request help from the Western Governors Association and Federal Fish and Wildlife. This action should bring more funding and expertise to the table. I ask you, the Fish and Game Commission, to recommend to Governor Inslee to make this request before the spread of this horrific disease reaches another Western state elk herd. Thank you for your time today.
Is Edward Barnes in the audience? Next person after Edward Barnes would be Patty Carter, please.
My name is Edward Barnes. I live at 4009 Northeast 50th Avenue in Vancouver, Washington. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to the Fish Commission this morning. Nothing has changed on this agenda since the last time I was here. It all has to do about fish. The seven members of the Fish Commission that I look on the back page here, basically every one of them are tied into the fish, not anything to do with elk, deer, birds, or anything else like that. I'm concerned that you have two vacancies. Both of them are in Eastern Washington. Where's somebody from Clark's, Comania, Klickitat County, a member of where all the problems are? Why isn't there somebody from those counties involved with the commission? Why isn't somebody putting their name up there so that you guys get a firsthand view from somebody that actually is there and sees it completely? I wore this hat for a purpose, not my veteran's hat today. I wore this because in 10 years from now, if you folks don't do something, the governor don't do something, the only thing that my grandkids are going to see are pictures on television of elk herds that used to exist or off of hats like this that shows a picture of an elk. That's the only thing, or at zoos and stuff, because the Fish Commission has done a terrible job of managing the elk herds in the state of Washington, especially in Southwest Washington. I hunted every day during elk hunting season. I seen a total of 10 elk, 2 spikes, and 8 cows. And I've hunted that area down there all my life with my dad when there was no roads up there, when we used to pack in and pack horses and that hunt up there all week long. And elk were everywhere. Now you can't even see an elk. You can't see one running across the road or anything else because of mismanagement and not making sure that this disease is taken care of and that. And that you have somebody representing the whole state. And if I look at this thing here, everybody's from up here, up in Seattle, up in the areas up here, that the same way with the money that goes to transportation. If the people in the up north up here don't vote for the money, people in Western Washington don't get any money for transportation. The same way with the thing that has to do with elk herds. So I'm saying to you folks, I'm 81 years old. I killed my first elk when I was 8 years old with my dad. And by God, I think it's absolute shame that I can't go up to St. Helens and see the same thing that I used to see forever up there. And I hope that you folks will get somebody appointed from that area down there so that they can make daily reports. I heard the chairman say, has anybody got up here that you want to report on anything? I'd like to see somebody from that area stand up and say, yeah, this is what's happened in Mount St. Helens. This is what's happened up in Klickitat. This is what happened in Skamania County with the elk and stuff. And nobody's doing that. And like I say, every agenda that I see up here has nothing but fish. And I know it's a big item, a big money maker for the state, but other people count too. And when you're spending $300 and some for elk tags, deer tags and stuff like that, and you can't even get one or you can't even see one, Mr. Chairman, it's an absolute shame. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. The next person would be Sean Cantrell. Patty Carter, please.
Good morning. I'm Patty Carter, a Puyallup resident and founder of Puyallup Historical Hatchery Foundation. First of all, I'd like to welcome you, Dr. Unsworth. I believe that Idaho's loss is our gain. In the middle of Pierce County, in the middle of the city of Puyallup, there's a beautiful state-owned hatchery that has taken on a new life over the last 2.5 years. A brief history for Dr. Unsworth. The Puyallup Hatchery was built in 1948 on some 80-plus acres with Clark's Creek running through it by some very smart folks that utilized the natural free-flowing clear water off the hillside. The hatchery has worked hard over the past 65-plus years producing lots and lots of trout for all our many lakes. So what is this new life I speak of? The Puyallup Historical Hatchery Foundation was formed in 2012 by caring local citizens. With an MOU from Fish and Wildlife, volunteers, and donations, we've built and opened an on-site public educational center, provide educational tours now, and held Puyallup's first salmon homecoming with some other groups. Working with the Puyallup tribe, Chief Leschi School specifically, the hatchery will soon sport a new 110-foot mural for the front of the old building that welcomes public. What a perfect place to teach new generations of children about caring for our watershed, about salmon life, with the opportunity to walk up to Clark's Creek on the property and witness the spawning, not to mention the birds and habitat all around, right in the middle of the city, right in the middle of the school district. We are so fortunate to be here at this moment to witness and help Fish and Wildlife create the changes for the next chapter of Puyallup Hatchery's story. Like the men and women in 1946 and 1947, the work we plan and do for this hatchery will be enjoyed for the next 65 years by thousands and thousands of citizens. The hatchery is old, there's upgrades needed and issues to deal with, but with all of us caring about it, the work will get done. Clark's Creek that runs through this property on its way to the Puyallup River is in need of our help, too. It is on Washington State DOE's 303D list as a Category 5 impaired water body with pH, fecal coliform bacteria, and dissolved oxygen conditions that are not in compliance with the state's water quality standards. Our foundation cares about this, too. We have written you a letter in regard to this, Dr. Unsworth. I've left you a copy with some photos there on your desk, and I've emailed the rest of you a copy of that. We believe you're the one to help us. We've researched you. We've seen what you have done in Idaho, utilizing an environmentally safe equipment such as that provided by Streamside Environmental. A full restoration of Clark's Creek can happen for us, for the salmon. We will help you all the way we can, and we want to track it and educate hundreds of students and visitors on how it came to be this way and how we corrected it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Next person, Heath Heikkila. Mr. Cantrell.
Thank you, Vice Chair and Commission. I also want to welcome our new director to the state. My name is Sean Cantrell. I'm the Northwest Regional Director for Defenders of Wildlife. I'm also a member of the Wolf Advisory Committee that the department has set up. I'm newly appointed, so I haven't even been, well, I've been to a meeting, but not as a advisory group member yet, so I'll be looking forward to that. I wanted to just touch base briefly on the wolf issue. There is a lot of legislation that's under consideration that we have actually testified against, feeling that this is not the right time. And I just want to commend the department for two things that are going on that hopefully you have been well briefed on. First is the assessment that is underway. The department has hired an outside independent consultant to look at the stakeholder conflicts around wolf issues. And I know that she has talked to, I believe she said, over 80 different people from Colville to Spokane to Yakima to Seattle to Olympia and many other places. Talked with some of you, with staff, with legislators, with ranchers, with conservation groups, with hunting groups. So I really am hopeful that this can help break some of the heightened conflict that we've seen around wolves here in the state in the last 6 months. I think that it's a much better approach to allow her to do her work rather than having the legislature or even the commission jump in and start making changes until we have a chance to get that assessment in. The second positive development that I, again, want to commend the department on is the revamping and the sort of reconfiguration of the Wolf Advisory Group. I think the fact that there's a recognition that this group can provide some real value to the department and the state as we go forward with managing wolves in the state, and that the additional stakeholders involved and hopefully the new empowerment that the department will give this group to really help inform how we go forward with wolf management. can hopefully diffuse some of the conflict. I mean, wolves are definitely a hot button issue. They will continue to be. I'm sure that you're well aware, coming from Idaho, the amount of passion that wolves incite across the board, across the spectrum. But I feel like we've got some very positive developments that of themselves aren't doing anything now, but that hold real promise going forward for the opportunity to have a more hopefully consensus-based approach, or at least a more engaged process for wolf management, so that the stakeholders have a feeling of understanding of transparency and what the process is and what they can expect. So that we have less of the passions boiling up in ways that aren't really helpful to, you know, whether it be ranchers or the wolves or conservation groups, and certainly doesn't make your life easier. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Heikkilä?
Well, Chairman Carpenter, it has quite a ring to it. So good morning to the Fish and Wildlife Commission here this morning. It was nice to meet you briefly, Director Unsworth, and we'll look forward to working with you in the months and years to come here. I'm here this morning, I'll keep it brief, primarily to talk about the North of Falcon policy, which you have in front of you later today. I know you're going to make a decision on that. I think it's an important topic. As many of you know, Commissioner Carpenter has been involved in it for years. I think I just would like to encourage as much as possible the department to be as open and, you know, I'll say transparent as possible, not in a critical way, but just to be very clear about the fishery proposals that the state is going to be making to the tribal co-managers as you head into that process. And I think there's a real opportunity to lay out what those would mean economically to the state, what they would mean in terms of opportunity for people out to get out on the water and to go fishing, and, you know, be very public about that as we go into that process. I think that'll give, you know, an organization like I represent, CCA, with, you know, over a dozen chapters statewide, an opportunity for the public to understand what the department's trying to promote in terms of fisheries, and I would hope support it as you guys go into that process. That process isn't one that really lends itself real well to public involvement, as I think a number of you know. So anything we can do to let the public know what's going on there, I think will be important. We all know how that process works, and at the end of the day, the decisions are all often made outside of the public eye, but I think if you lay out a track record of being open and clear with everyone, it'll really pay dividends. So that's, you know, and we want to help you all do that as we move forward, too, so you're not alone, you know, trying to communicate on that. So that's all I have to say today.
Thank you, Mr. Heikkilä. That concludes our open public input